I was making Christian music before I got saved, that I came to realize, oh snap, it's more than just going to church. It's more than just, you know, singing these praise and worship songs, or it's more than just abstaining from sex. That you find Christians who may just get saved and they start making Christian art, whether it be Christian music or whatever, and then they fall away from the faith. Here's the scar on my hand. I'm going to show you the scar on my hand so that you don't have to put your hand in fire to know that fire burns. In life, be humble or be humbled. I speak from a place of being humbled.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Come See podcast. I'm so excited about the conversations we're going to have today. Now, my guest is a multi-award winning musician. He's based in London and he's been pioneering Christian rap music for almost 20 years in the UK. His style of delivery is second to none, and he is a MOBA award winning artist as well. And it's none other than the wonderful Triple O.
Hey.
Triple O.
Yo. What's really good? What's really good?
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you.
No, it was cool. Thank you for having me. I mean, I'm looking forward to the conversation.
So am I. I'm really excited.
This should be nice.
It's gonna be good.
Yeah. We good.
So start off with telling me a bit about your name, Triple O.
Right.
I know you're a Nigerian.
Oh yeah.
What do the names mean?
So, this is the thing. I remember when I first started making music, everyone had a name and it had a meaning. And initially, my artist name was just my initials, Triple O, full Nigerian descent, you know, my full name and everything. And then I thought to myself, oh, do you know what? It needs to have a Christ-like meaning so that they know that I'm a Christian artist. And we started to put all these other things next to it. But, you know, the long and short of it is it's just my initials. So my full name is Oluwatobi Oyefeso.
You need to slow that down, please. Help us to. So what do they mean for our non-Yoruba speaking viewers as well?
Oluwatobi means God is great, or God is big, God is beyond measure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's my surname is my first name again with my family name as well. So
your surname is Oluwatobi.
Mm-hmm. Also, it's Oluwatobi Oyefeso.
Wow. And then Oyefeso means that one. I think it's
like crown of glory, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. But it was just
Oyefeso.
Family.
Oyefeso.
Yeah.
Do you speak Yoruba?
I understand Yoruba fluently.
Really?
But yeah. But I can't speak it as well as I would love to, and as well as I need to.
It wasn't given, you understand. So I had Faith Child on recently.
Uh-huh.
He said, dear. He cannot even grasp small Yoruba.
No, I understand.
You understand it, but it's just
I feel like we're about to go into an exam. And do you know what? Let's have this conversation. So I can't speak it as fluently and as well as I would love to. And I think there are a lot of people in my... I'm going to land.
Okay.
I think there are a lot of people in my generation and a couple of years younger who had this thing where they grew up around the culture and they grew up around understanding the intonations and the language. But because of the older generations that would look at them and be like, you're not speaking properly, you're not using the language, you're not using the dialect.
It discourages them.
Yeah. So I think what happened was, as I was picking it up and then I'll be like chucking some... I think it was like... my uncles, aunties, older cousins and whatnot, they'll be like, you sound British, you sound. And then it's like, all right, cool. And then so what ends up happening is that you have a generation who understand it but can't speak it because their confidence is being knocked.
Yeah.
So I always find it very interesting when speaking to the older, you know, older generations or those who understand it fluently. And I'm like, why not encourage your brothers and sisters? All right, cool. Mm-hmm. They may not get it right. Wrong. But you know, you learn same way as a baby's walking, doesn't walk straight away and start doing backflips. They gotta crawl, they stand up, they fall. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And before you know it, you would have a generation that would speak the language a lot more fluently. So
absolutely, I agree with you.
So it is what it is.
Thank you so much for coming on the conversation. No, thank you for having me. I'm so grateful that you honored our invitation.
No, it's love. It's love.
There's so many things that I'm excited that we're gonna delve into. Let's start with your faith journey. Mm-hmm, were you raised in the church?
Yeah, so my parents were born again believers, and I was always brought up in a church setting. But that didn't necessarily mean I was a Christian.
Yeah.
That didn't necessarily mean I was following Christ 100%. And living the ways that were called of somebody who was meant to be born again. But I think it was over a period of time and experience in life, the way that life happens, you then realize, actually, do you know what? I can't just be calling myself a Christian. What does it actually mean to be a believer?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I'll say like in my late teens, where somebody actually broke down and explained to me what the gospel was,
yeah.
and the ramifications of what Christ did and what that meant for me as an individual. Mm. And that I came to realize, oh snap, it's more than just going to church. It's more than just, you know, singing these praise and worship songs, or yeah. it's more than just abstaining from sex or whatever, yeah. you know, these things that we like to say Tell define them. Christianity. I think these are the fruits and the byproducts but they're not that. Yeah, they're not the things that, you know, qualify us as Christians. And then when I came to that realization and I came to that understanding, I think it was off the back of that I started to then have a more serious relationship with Christ.
Mm.
Now, that being said, I didn't always get it right.
Of course.
I didn't always be like, all right, cool, yeah, I'm a Christian now. This is all easy and everything. It was now the sanctification process, yeah, which is a process, which is like actually kind of like navigating God. Through your struggles and okay, Absolutely. Cool, dealing with, you know, depression or dealing with how do you handle money or dealing with lust or dealing yeah. with relationship issues with you know, your friends and all of these kind of things that we navigate through as human beings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we forget that as Jesus himself was the Son of God and is the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man.
Yeah.
So he experienced these day-to-day issues, these things that everybody else experienced.
Yeah.
And I think navigating through that has always just allowed me to lean on Christ even more so,
yeah.
And remember who he is and what he's done and what that means for me. So it's a journey, but it's a beautiful one nonetheless.
Indeed, it is, because here you are.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
What was it? Was there a moment in that journey where you were like, I'm sold out for Christ? Or was it a gradual, did you have a road to Damascus or a woman by the wall type encounter,
so,
or was it, you know, gradual?
For me, it's gradual, because I would love to say I had this thing of, oh my gosh, I was blind, but now I see. you know, I was on my way to prison and then God just turned my life. There wasn't any one defining thing that happened and brought me to the knowledge of Christ. I think it was just a gradual thing and I said, okay, cool, you were doing this. And that doesn't make my testimony or make Lesser. Anybody no it doesn't, because it's still your testimony. And for the fact that I have been on that journey and I am still on that journey, it's been incredible, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes Christians who have, you know, grown up in the church and have been followers of Christ from, you know, young age, there is a sense of like, I wasn't church. I didn't grow up in the church.
But
whenever I share my testimony, I do get a sense that some people are like, oh, I don't have that kind of,
wow
story. I don't have, you know, I wasn't knocked off a horse or anything. I've just always been a Christian type thing.
And that's fine.
But I promise you, there are some stripes, there are some wounds that I carry that you don't carry. And thank God that you don't, you know?
There's some
things that, 100%. You know, you have to learn the hard way when you aren't churched. That thankfully, if you're raised in a church, it's an easier transition.
This is it.
So in terms of your journey into music, you grew up in a Christian family. How did music become a part of your story?
It's funny because I love telling
rap of all I, that rap.
Child
of God.
I love telling the story because first and foremost, like I'm from East London, and I grew up in an era where grime music was just the thing. And so, you know, when people ask me, how did you fall into music? It was a thing of, because I was surrounded by it. And the people that I grew up were doing music. And a lot of my closest friends around that time.
Channel U days.
All of that kind of stuff. It was just part and parcel of my upbringing. And, you know, seeing all of that happening around me and everything I grew up with, I was like, okay, cool. Do you know what? I like this and I can do this.
Yeah.
And then it was a thing of where music just took hold of me first and foremost. But Christian music, so I was making music, I was rapping, doing things before I was in faith.
First.
The music came first. And then true story. So I remember there was one time I was rapping and I really wanted to do all the grime sets and all that kind of stuff. I went to school and I grew up with quite a few notable grime MCs who went on to do amazing things. And then I remember there was one time in church after service, everyone was like, "Yo, come on, let's rap, let's do a cypher, let's spit some bars." So all my friends in church were Christian MCs, or they were writing Christian lyrics. And then they're spitting about Jesus, their faith, and it came to me. I'm not writing that just yet. So they're, you know, and then now it's my turn to rap in there. And then I'm like, "Yo, I'll do this, and I carry this," and da-da-da-da-da. And then one of my guys turned around and said, "Yo, bro, you know your mom's over there. You don't live that life. Like, why are you rapping like that? Are you talking like that?" And one of the key things about rap music, period, it doesn't matter what genre, what type of rap it is authenticity. You've got to be true to you. And at that point, I realized I wasn't being authentic to who I was, because that wasn't a life I lived. That was a life I saw other people live.
You were imitating.
But it wasn't my life. So I think it was off the back of that experience and just, you know, certain things with regards to how I started to then develop in the faith. I said, "Okay, do you know what? Let me write what was authentic to me." Mm. And then that then transitioned into making Christian hip hop and music that reflected my faith.
Yeah.
But then, like, the plot twist was I was making Christian music before I got saved.
Wow.
So it was one of the... There you go. So it was one of those things where, like, all right, cool. Again, I want to rap about something. Okay, let me rap about Jesus. I love rap and I love Jesus. So let me just put the two together. But I didn't fully understand the gravity and the depth of what it meant to be a Christian and have that genuine relationship with God. So even though I was rapping about him and I was speaking about him in the music, there wasn't no relationship. So I wasn't genuinely, truly saved to the point where I understood what it really meant to kind of speak about someone and have that relationship in that capacity there. Things changed and then, you know, came to the knowledge of Christ. But I think it was a humbling experience to realize that, oh, actually, do you know what? It's deeper than the music, and it's more than just the music.
Yeah.
And the music is an offshoot of your walk.
Yeah,
and
it's complementary, but it's not the foundation.
It's not the foundation. So that was a very interesting learning experience that I had to kind of navigate through. And I always share with people who are, you know, new artists who are, you know, trying to run that race as well.
What would you say to, or maybe a better way to ask is, why is it that even when people are raised in the church, like you say, you're even willing to rap about Jesus, there is still that separation that's possible where somebody can know of God or know of Jesus, but not be in relationship with him?
Because as human beings, like, we are gravitated towards platforms. And as human beings, we find people on platforms attractive.
Absolutely.
Whether it be like physically attractive or aspirationally, we want to achieve what they're like. Yeah, we want to be like them. So when we bear all of that in mind, what we then find is that, oh my gosh, I want to, as a creative, you want to run towards the light by any means. It's like, you know, a moth.
Or one of those little flames. Yeah.
This is it. You want to move in that direction. And then what happens is that as creatives, you can run in that direction at the expense of the relationship, which is the foundation. And then you realize you're making Christ-like music without the Christ. And it's a very mad space to kind of find yourself in.
Yeah.
And it's something you don't want to, it's a rabbit hole you don't want to fall into, but it's a rabbit hole so many are falling into, to the point where what you find is that you find Christians who may just get saved and they start making Christian art, whether it be Christian music or whatever, and then they fall away from the faith. And then their art is no longer reflecting the faith that they once professed. Yeah. Because the faith that they once professed wasn't based on a foundation that was strong enough to withstand the trials of life and the questions and the tribulations and all that kind of stuff. So, and this isn't me to kind of like say, oh, I'm better than any. No, it's just the reality of what I've seen firsthand. I've seen brothers and sisters, unfortunately, you know, be like, okay, cool, yeah, I love Jesus, I'm going to make Jesus music. And then like 2-3 years down the line, they're not even... Forget not making Christian music anymore.
They don't shadow the doors of a church.
They're not even in... Exactly. Wow. So, and I always you know, be like, cool. As those in the faith, we those individuals, we continue to love them, we pray for them, we support them, we encourage them, and we pray that they will return back home by God's grace. But the reality is, as human beings, our flesh, our carnal nature, it likes nice things.
Platform, and sometimes the pedestal,
sometimes
the
that
fame.
This is it. And that can be seen as a nice thing.
The crowd. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you, as a human being who is a follower of Jesus Christ, how do you temper Triple O's innate desire for, or fleshly desire for, you know, fame and you know, praise and all those types of things?
I think,
how do you
in life, the reality is, someone once shared this with me and it stuck with me, and then it hit me because it hit me. In life, be humble or be humbled.
Oh,
and
please say that again.
In life,
be humble or be humbled.
And I don't say that because, oh my gosh, I'm the most humble person in the world. Far from it. I speak from a place of being humbled, where you feel like, you know, nothing you do could go wrong. And then
you're flawless.
And then all of a sudden, like, God really shows you who you are. And when you squeeze an orange juice, so when you squeeze an orange, out comes orange juice. So it's what's within is really going to come out. And I've been in situations where my character was really tested, and I was like, right, is that me? Do you know what I'm trying to say? And I feel like those experiences, both good and bad, and then the very bad, and then the very good, it reminded me that, yo, you're human, and you need Christ at all times.
Yeah. Not you want him, you need him.
Exactly, you need him. And if you feel like you're going to exalt yourself in a capacity where I can do it all by myself, or I'm the best, or all that kind of, like, you remember, that's why Lucifer got kicked out of heaven, because he had those, you know, me, myself, and I kind of thoughts, and said, oh, okay, I'm going to put myself above God, and you know.
Yeah.
The moment you allow that to creep into not even just your artistry, but your
person,
being your person,
do you know what I'm trying to say?
Pride comes before a fall.
Absolutely.
And like I said, experience has taught me that, yo, in life, like, be humble.
Be humble.
Like, honestly speaking.
Or be humbled.
This is it.
I love
so,
that.
Yeah.
That's going on my wall. Amazing. Congratulations, because you became a dad last year.
Yep.
One of the things I need to actually say that I really admired about you is, I remember when you got married, and, you know, there were images and, you know, hashtags and everything, and which was really beautiful. Go on Triple O's page now. It's clean. There's nothing there. Was that a conscious decision? Like, right, back to the music? Or was it just like a, okay, that was for a season, now let's...
I think one thing, the people that I respect the, like, a lot, are people who are so public but yet so private.
Yeah. I get that.
And I love that, because I'm just like, oh snap, you're really out there, but you're not.
You're not oversharing.
And there's nothing, don't get me wrong, I have some incredible friends and family members who are very open with their families and on social
and
media.
And there's a ministry in that.
Yeah,
for
there
some
is.
Some people, that is their
yo,
core.
I'm learning things, and I'm like, if I didn't follow your page or see your page or see the way you do, I wouldn't know how to do such and such. So please continue doing what you're doing. But for me, I think the fact that, like, everyone around me, like my family, are so private, and I I've learned the blessings and the not so good parts of being so public all the time, and being so kind of learning from that and experiencing that, and also respecting the wishes of everyone around me. I'm just like, all right, cool, let's kind of just be mindful. And I think there's just something so, for me anyway, like, just rewarding and, okay, cool. Yeah. I want to protect my family in
it's
this
quite
capacity.
It's freeing, isn't
it?
Because
then,
there's no pressure.
But don't get me wrong. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. And I enjoy kind of, like, you'll get little glimpses here and there and whatnot.
But then when they come, people appreciate it more because, you know, they don't take it for granted.
Yeah.
It's not just another post.
And you got to remember that in general, people feel, we're in a day and age where social media feels so entitled to knowing about
everything about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But when something goes wrong, the same way something people will be praising you is, and again, this is me speaking from the experience of having that
Yeah.
People saying great stuff about you publicly and people saying not so great stuff about you publicly.
Yeah.
And, you know, the season that I've now walked into, I'm just like, all right, cool. Let me be very intentional about protecting that which I hold dear to me.
Mm. Amazing. So I was asking you about becoming a father.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
What is that like? Give us the tea on fatherhood as a newcomer.
So the reality is, I thank God for my children, and I thank God for
children.
Yeah. Because my firstborn is a couple of years old.
Oh, okay. So this is not your first. No, I didn't realize. Okay.
So and I thank God for, you know, just how He has just orchestrated my life and the circumstances that led to, you know, my firstborn being born, which I thank God for, and then, you know, just having this now within the context of marriage and whatnot, and then and being able to kind of learn.
It's so
learn
funny
from,
that I just assumed that.
Yeah,
isn't
no. This is what I'm saying. It's beautiful to kind of have these conversations. And we're able to learn from one another because I've seen so much from people around me, and I was like, okay, cool. How do you navigate through this, and how do you navigate through that? And one thing I've learned more recently, to come back to your question about fatherhood, is just the importance of intentionality and being present and doing all that you can, doing all that you can within you know the means that you can, to really just be. Like intentional with your love and intentional with your time and intentional with your presence and patience.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, I'm talking about life now. Life doesn't always put you on the path that you want to be put on. So you're not able to do things the way you want to do things.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you have to be like, okay, cool. Where I've made mistakes, how do I take accountability for my mistakes? How do I learn from my mistakes, and how do I be a better person and then be patient in the waiting process? So all like going through all of that and then juggling this and juggling that, and I'm just like, okay, cool, God, you know how, when, where, and why. Cool, let's kind of utilize that to become a better person. And then these lessons, and the reason why I say all of that is because these life lessons are life lessons that I'm now going to install into
your own children.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So it's like, all right, cool, this is what I've learned. So here's the scar on my hands. I'm going to show you the scar on my hands so that you don't have to put your hand in fire to know that fire burns.
Yeah. You can trust the experience.
This is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And I think these are some of the things I've learned, not just about that entering into fatherhood in this season, but just in general.
Yeah.
And I generally look at just life and I'm just like, God, you know how and you know why. And
He's amazing. Yeah. He just orchestrates.
Intentional about
it. Even when it seems like, you know, the scripture that talks about God making everything work together for our good. Sometimes, even when we ourselves make these mistakes that seem so huge.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow God remixes it. And it's like, it's making sense again.
Yeah, because I hold dearly to that scripture. It's all things work together for the good of those that love
the Lord and are called according to His purpose.
And I'm just like, God, all I need to do is just continue loving you, like with my whole heart. And everything will just slowly just like be put together and just work together for my good. Because you are so intentional with everything that has been made on this earth. There is a reason why that we have the seas and the buses and the London Underground and all these kind of things. There's a reason why these things. So how much more so me?
A human being
that has life and has
made
assurance,
in the image of God.
Made in the image of God, that has reasoning and sound minds. Why would you not have a plan for me? And I remember someone said to me, if it's going to be okay in the end, and if it's not okay, then it's not the end. And I just like, I'm going to hold on to that.
Yeah.
So things may not be how I want them to be as I stand and I'm looking right now, but it's because it's not the end of my story.
Yeah.
And I have to continue trusting God and saying, God, you know what? You love me enough to bring me through the situation that I'm in.
Yeah.
Or the trials and the storms and all that. Because eventually, at some point, every storm runs out of rain. Absolutely. At some point, like, it doesn't rain. I don't care
storms
where you go.
Storms don't go on forever.
No storm. Like, it might rain again, but one storm will not last for like.
Yeah.
And so when I hold on to that and I just remember that, I'm just like, all right, cool. God, you know how this ends. I'm a big football fan and I love watching the highlights on YouTube or Match of the Day. And if you already know the score, when you're watching Match of the Day, you watch it like this.
You have peace. Oh, come on.
Even if your team loses, it's because you know the end result. it's not like when you're watching it live and you're on the edge of your seat.
Anxiety.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. And I think God, not even I think, I know God is watching like our lives play out, and he has peace because he knows how the story ends. And he said, look, listen, I know how the story ends. Like, trust me. Like, I've got
That's
you.
Amazing.
And when I kind of take all of that and I hold on to this, when I look at how my life is and where I've come from and the experience of life I've kind of navigated through and the things I've been through and the mistakes I've made and the things I've done wrong and the things I've done right, and, you know, the people that will see this and be like doing screw face, and then the people who are seeing this and be like, yeah, I'm championing you and all of that kind of stuff, I have peace knowing that this is not, today is not the end of my story, and God knows why, and there is a plan and a purpose to this journey that I'm on.
Amen. Amen. You see, I was about to start speaking in tongues. The tongues were going to break out. Amen. 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 I wanted to ask you, we've run out of time, but I wanted to ask you, what's coming up for you? What can you share? I mean, no pressure. What can you share about what's coming up for you?
I'm in a season of just creating. I've been making music for a while, and I said to myself, I want to enjoy making music.
Yeah.
So 2024, that's where I've lost track of the years now. I said to myself,
when you get old, that's what happens. Hey. No shame.
No, I said this year, no album, no EP, no project, but it's loads of
enjoying
songs.
Music,
just put music out.
Creating.
Yeah, just have fun with it. And I said to myself, I just want to have fun. And that's exactly what we're going to do.
Amazing.
We're just going to just have fun with music. And then, you know, subsequent years, we'll kind of see what happens.
It will materialize.
Yeah. That's literally what we're doing this year.
Amazing. Triple O, thank you so much
for
coming
on
the ComC podcast. I'm going to have to ask you to come back.
Oh, yeah. I feel like we just scratched the surface.
We only scratched the surface. We ran out of time, but it's all good. I'm going to ask you to come back again.
No problem.
And yeah, there's so much that I'd love to learn from you, from your journey. But what you shared already about, you know, understanding that God, who is at the beginning, has actually seen the end.
100%.
Will give so many people so much peace.
100%.
Thank you.
Bless you dearly.
Thank you for tuning in to the ComC podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, like, comment. Until next time.